Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cavaliers, man, tough one last night. Are they going to be able to bounce back?
Tough one last.
Big loss last night. John Beilein suffering his first defeat as Cavaliers head coach. Yeah, sure, it's rookie spring league or whatever you want to call it. In Salt Lake with only four teams. But
summer.
Summer league, yeah, spring, summer. If you got to know your seasons to understand how to do this show. Let's bring in Chris Fedor because he knows a lot more than we do, and he's with Cleveland.com, and, of course, he is with the Plain Dealer, and he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and he is currently in the gorgeous city of Salt Lake in Utah covering all of the summer league action. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm staring out of my hotel room window at some snow-capped mountains. Believe it or not, there's still snow in the distance here in Utah.
It's way up there. It's way up
there. Way up there.
Yeah, you should go
up
to
Park. It is picturesque.
Will you have time to go to Park City while you're there? Or no, you just Salt Lake.
Probably not. That's probably about $100 in an Uber ride there and back. So we're probably going to avoid expensing that.
It's worth it. Oh, they'll never know the difference. Tell them you had to go up there. Hey, Kevin Love's up there. Kevin's got a house up there. Why don't you go find out? See?
Well, the Cavs are actually practicing and holding shoot-arounds and staying in Park City.
Yeah, that's where you need to be. Yeah.
But the training camp is already over at this point.
Oh, that
sucks. Practices are behind them. Now it's on to the game. So I don't think I can justify it.
I'm trying to get you a cool trip. It's awesome up there. I love it up there. We go there all the time.
It looks it from the distance.
Yeah. All right, so tell me give me your report on last night's game. What did we learn about the Summer League Cavaliers, and in particular their head coach? John Beilein.
Yeah, I don't know that we learned anything, to be honest with you. I think if anything, we learned that John Beilein is still learning the NBA, and I think a lot of these guys are still learning. Look, that was the first taste for John Beilein, and he joked after the game. He was serious, but it came across as a joke. He was expecting a jump ball at the second, you know? Like, he's learning timeouts. He's learning that the games are longer, the spacing of the floor. Different rules. He used his first coach's challenge last night to challenge a block charge. So I don't think this is necessarily something that we're going to learn about these guys. I think it's a learning environment for all of these guys. The thing that stood out to me the most was Dylan Windler being able to get his shot off against pressure, not being phased, showing some deep three-point range that extends way beyond his college range. And I liked his off-the-ball movement and just his understanding of the game. You can tell that he was at a program at Belmont where they run a master class in offense, where it's not just iso ball, it's not just high pick and roll. There's some nuanced things that Dylan Windler did in college, and it helps explain why he's been able to pick up John Beilein's system so quick.
Chris, as I was watching Windler last night, and you know how you might watch something and then all of a sudden a thought pops into your head. And the thought that popped into my head was Dan Majerle. And I thought, well, that's not fair because Majerle was a three-time All-Star and was really good. But honestly, that's what I thought. This guy looks like Dan Majerle. Really athletic, shoots from long range, and looks like he can do some things out there.
I feel like we're just going to run through the list of white guys and compare them all to Dylan Windler.
Well, that was – I'm sure the Caucasian part was part of it, but – I actually thought their games kind of matched up a little bit.
So I was there last night at Salt Lake City Summer League, and I was talking to a couple of different people about Dylan, and I heard comps from Joe Ingles because we were there where the Utah Jazz play. Ingles, a lefty, can shoot from distance, can initiate, play make a little bit for the Jazz. I also heard a poor man's Gordon Hayward, who happens to be left-handed instead of right-handed, also. It makes sense that he came up because I was there in Utah where Gordon Hayward started his NBA career and played for a number of years. But I think the Cavs are really, really excited about Dylan. And as much as they're looking forward to seeing Darius Garland, and they felt all along that Kevin Porter Jr. was one of the 10 best players in terms of talent in this NBA draft class, Dylan Windler has a lot of the coaches really, really excited just because of his knowledge of the game, because he makes things easier on guys, because his value sometimes is going to go beyond the obvious. The analytics guys within the front office that I talked to last night absolutely loved Dylan Windler. And I think you saw last night why. He just impacts the game in a variety of different ways.
Chris, give me the mindset on why they are opting to play in both summer leagues. Have they done this before? Like, I can't remember them playing in both.
No, this is the first time.
Okay, so you got Salt Lake and you've got Vegas. Give me the rationale behind that.
More time for evaluation. Okay. They didn't go to the NBA Finals this year, so they didn't have a restricted off season. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that they're going to be very quiet in free agency. They don't have money to spend. So they don't have to worry about the frenzy that these other teams around the NBA have had to worry about. So I think they just felt comfortable, given where they are as an organization, giving John Beilein a chance to get his feet wet, and then giving some of these newer coaches a chance to do that in Las Vegas Summer League, spread out the responsibilities. I just think it made a lot of sense for them to take on this extra set of summer league games.
Free agency is starting to calm down a little bit. Kawhi's still out there, but you can already tell some teams missed. Is Kobe Altman going to be receiving phone calls like crazy from teams that think, man, we got to get an impact guy inside of a stretch four, Kevin Love? How much activity do you expect to be there?
Yeah, guys, that's been my expectation all along. I think I was on 92.3 The Fan a variety of different times throughout the course of the regular season, and that's what I said. Like, Kevin's value, I think, I always felt, was going to increase this summer. Look, yes, his contract could be a problem for some teams. His injury history could be a problem for some teams. Defense could be a problem, too. His age could be a problem. Like, there are a lot of reasons why other teams around the NBA might shy away from a guy like Kevin. But teams have loaded up to try and get star players this offseason, and not everybody is going to. And Kevin is an all-star. Kevin is an Olympian. Kevin is the most important player that the Cavs have. Kevin is ideal for where the NBA is going, with a stretch forward who can pull defenders away from the rim and make things easier on his own teammates because of the value that he brings on the court and off the court. And Kevin's no drama, unlike some of these other guys. So I have felt all along that one of these teams that misses out on the big-name free agent is absolutely going to say, okay, what's our other route to getting an impact player? If we're a good team, how do we become a great team? Right, if we're a playoff team, how do we become a championship team? And I think they're going to look at the Cavs and say, they have an all-star. He could be expendable. They're rebuilding. He's not going to help them win games this year or maybe even next year. What's it going to take to pry him away? I think the list of teams maybe has shrunk a little bit when it comes to that. But I think teams like that that miss out on the big-name free agents are going to take a run at Kevin. The Cavs' stance has not changed at all. I think it would take the right combination of draft picks and young players, and, of course, some salary filler for the Cavs to consider it. I think they have to consider it. I don't think there's any untouchables on this roster. I don't think there can be this early on into the rebuild. But the Cavs aren't holding up a sign saying, take Kevin from us, take Kevin from us, we don't want him. They've also looked around the NBA and saw some of these contracts that some of these other guys have gotten, and they've said, okay, we're paying Kevin less than what Tobias Harris is getting, right? We're paying Kevin less than what some of these other guys are getting on a year-to-year basis. So the Cavs would consider it, but I think they would have to be blown away in order to move him.
Do you think Kevin still wants to be here?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I think Kevin likes it here. I think Kevin believes in the direction of the franchise. And Kevin was willing to sign on at a time where there was a lot of uncertainty with this organization. There was no guarantee that they were going to be a playoff team. There was no guarantee that they were going to be competitive on a nightly basis. And yet he still signed up for that. So I just don't know that enough has changed over the last year that would make him want to leave.
I'm still – we sat here and we've debated this for 2 weeks now, the Channing Frye saying, man, Kevin would really look good here in Portland.
Sure he would.
Instagram. But, I mean, I can't imagine that Kevin would sign off on that and that Channing would do that on his own. Yeah. And if you're Kevin, you're not going to complain about anything. Why would you? You're making great money. Again, you've said you like being here before. But, you know, if somebody wanted to throw it out there that maybe you should be playing at home, oh, so be it. You know what I'm saying?
I think, guys, there was a time where the trade stuff bothered Kevin. And it was really hard for him to process. And he paid attention to the rumors. And he was wondering whether he was going to be with the Cavs. I think Kevin has gotten to a place in his life, in his career, and just as a person, he has grown so much from the time that he arrived from Minnesota to now that he can just shrug those things off. He can have a good time with it. He can laugh it off. And from what I know, he thinks that's just Channing being Channing. And Kevin is laughing that off. And he's having a good time with it. I don't think it's something that Kevin said, hey, Channing, put that out there for me, like a passive-aggressive approach the
right.
way that LeBron used to take when he was here. I don't think it's that at all. I think if you know Channing Frye, you know that those are the kinds of things that he does. He clowns around on social media, and he likes to make people think in that kind of way.
Chris, when we've thought about trade offers coming to the Cavaliers, we always think about Kevin. Could mm-hmm. Jordan Clarkson, could Tristan Thompson be involved yeah. in any talks as well? Because they're both on expiring contracts.
I absolutely think the Cavs would move those guys at this point. I don't know if it's going to be this offseason. I don't know if it's going to be during the season. The timing of it all depends on what else happens around the NBA. But I think those are the two names besides J.R. Smith that the Cavs would be most willing to move even as soon as this offseason. And I think they have some value too, guys, because – sometimes in the NBA, guys have expiring contracts, and they can't play. They're just a number. Ryan Anderson with the Miami Heat, right? He's going to have an expiring contract. I believe it's going to be this year. Maybe it's the year after that. Jordan Clarkson can help a team. Tristan Thompson can help a team. And they have expiring contracts that allows the team that picks them up in a trade to have financial flexibility, which can be important because a lot of teams now are loading up for the 2021 free agency class as opposed to the 2020 free agency class.
Chris, the Houston Rockets keep popping into my head, and they mm-hmm. keep saying we want to get rid of, well, we'd be happy to move Clint Capella. And wouldn't you love Clint Capella if you were the Cavs and you're building long-term and you have a good young athletic center there who's under contract for a while? To me, it just seems like, boy, there might be something worth talking about there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the kind of guy who would fit well because he brings things that the Cavs don't have. But I just don't know. So the Cavs are really into analytics, and they're really into value. And they look at, okay, what's your value, and does your contract match what you bring both on the court and off the court? And I just don't know that Clint Capella's real value in today's NBA matches his number. And I think that's hard for a team sometimes to process or accept. So I do think he would fit because he brings things that the Cavs don't have, even though they have a glut of bigs. They don't have anybody like him, per se. But I just don't know that the value would make sense for the Cavs to go that direction.
Chris Fedor, enjoy your trip to Utah. And then are you going straight to Vegas from there, or are you coming home first?
Yeah, I'm heading to Vegas on 4th of July. So it should be fun.
And what casino should we stay away from? Because you'll be taking all their money?
I haven't decided yet what exactly I'm going to do in Vegas and where I'm going to lay my bets.
Yes.
But that will be something that I figure out in the next couple of days before I get to Vegas.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about all your winnings here in the near future and reading your reports about the Cavaliers here in Summer League in Salt Lake, too. Thanks, Chris.
You got it, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, we'll talk to Chris Fedor, a friend of the station, obviously, fills in every once in a while. And, of course, writes for The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. And he was on the North Homestead Chrysler.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.